Today's share in Mishneh Berurah Yomi is Daf Samach Zayin Umen Aleph, and we're finishing up Simen Lamed Ches, dealing with the last two Seifim with who is exempt from wearing tefillin. Seif Yud Beis begins at the very last line of Samach Vav Umen Beis, and the Mechaber writes, Hayatzarech leTefillin uMezuzah. The person needs to purchase both tefillin and a mezuzah. However, he is unfortunately impoverished, ve'en yado maseges likno shneim. He doesn't have the funds to go and purchase both. What should he do? So the Mechaber says, tefillin kodmim. The purchase of tefillin takes precedence to the purchase of a mezuzah. Why is this? Sifkat Lamed Zayin, the Mishneh Berurah explains, dehi mitzvah shebegufa, because tefillin is something that you do intrinsically with your guf, as opposed to the mezuzah, which is on your house, on your possessions. Furthermore, va'od, dekdushas tefillin l'ma'ala mikdushas mezuzah, because tefillin are a higher madreg of kedusha than the mezuzah, as we've learned previously on Simen Lamed Beis. However, miu, Lididon, nowadays, the Mishneh Berurah says, this din is switched around. Because she'en meinichin rak bishas kriyashma tefillah, since we, nowadays, most people only wear the tefillin for a small period of the day when they're saying Shema and Shmoneh Esrei and davening, Shachris, im efshor bishelo, maybe you could fulfill your obligation to wear tefillin by borrowing somebody's tefillin because they could go to the early minyan, go to the later minyan. And therefore, he suggests, nowadays, mezuzah kodemis, because the efshor bishelo, you can't borrow mezuzah, person needs a mezuzah on his house, he can't lend you a mezuzah and take it away from his house. Whereas tefillin, two people could wear the same pair of tefillin at different times, but two houses can't have the same mezuzah. So therefore, it's possible, bringing this down the name of the Magen Avraham, that the halacha would be different where we don't wear the tefillin all day. Lamaisa, certainly one should try very, very hard not to borrow tefillin, as we've spoken out, because of the dangers of it not fitting properly and other reasons. The issue footnote number 32 brings down the Beis Hillel in Yoredeya, who says that the tefillin are like a malbush on a person's body. They're like clothing for the person. However, it brings down Rabbi Kiva Eger, who gives a different reason, who says, "Tefillin he mitzvah mutelis al gufo b'chol mokum shu nimtza." Tefillin are always an obligation for the person, no matter where you are, and you're never exempt from them. However, mezuzah is only an obligation on you if you happen to have a house, and you happen to have the requirements of that house to have the mezuzah. And a person could technically live in a place where he doesn't have the obligation for mezuzah. For example, a borrowed house or a house that is rented in a way that you're not yet obligated to put on the mezuzah. And therefore, tefillin takes priority over mezuzah. The issue footnote 33 asks an interesting question. What happens if you have one of the batim of the tefillin? And now the question is, should you buy the second bias of the tefillin, or should you buy the mezuzah? So here you have the possibility to say that, well, you're at least mekayim part of the mitzvah of tefillin, so now go be mekayim the mitzvah of mezuzah. So he brings down the name of Shlomo Kluger, as well as the Shelis Tshuvas Minchas Balula, Afike Maginim, that in all these situations, Afilu Knias Tefillah Shoyad, Levada, Kodemus Knias Mezuzah, that the second one, or even a Shoyad, takes precedence over a mezuzah. In the issue 34, he brings down, in the name of the Shari Tshuva, that when we said, nowadays, maybe the din is different because you could borrow a pair of tefillin, so therefore purchase the mezuzah, which can't be borrowed. He says that's only if you're absolutely 100% sure that you'll be successful in borrowing the tefillin every single day, every single time. Because otherwise, then you definitely still, even nowadays, would have to buy the tefillin over the mezuzah. However, the Piskei Tshuva in Yoredeya qualifies this and says if there's even a chance that you think you'll be able to borrow the tefillin, it's not a vaday, but there's a chance that you'll be able to do it. Then he says that the mezuzah would come first as well, because we wouldn't do a safek over a vaday. The final sif in Simen Lamed Ches is sif Yud Gimel. The Mechaber has very short comment, and he says, Menuda u'mitzora asur l'niach tefillin. A menuda is somebody who's basically put into some sort of an excommunication. And a mitzora is a person who has this metaphysical illness that is described in many places as being due to a number of different sins that a person may do. The classical is motzi shemra, and this mitzoru has this halachically defined situation, so the menuda and the mitzora are both usur to put on tefillin. The Mishneh Berurah in Sifkat and Lamed Ches tells us to go look in the Lechem Chamudos and the Shach and Yoredeya and other achronim who paskin the opposite, who say, in fact, that a person who is a menudo mitzora is required to put on tefillin. And he brings down the Prima Gadim that they should therefore put on the tefillin without a bracha, and this way they have the best of both worlds. He then brings down the Vilna Gaon and the Biura Agra, who says L'chore tzrichen levarach gam kein, who says no, they absolutely should put on the tefillin with the bracha. Nowadays, we don't really have tzaras in any way, shape, or form. And while we do have people in excommunication of various sorts, we don't really have it in the formal way that it was done previously. And the bottom line is that halach l'maisa, we don't really have a menuda or mitzora in regards to this din of not putting on tefillin, according to the Mechaber. The Halacha Brewer adds one additional category. He talks about a balkeri, a person who's had a seminal emission, either accidentally or after relations with his spouse. So he also has an obligation to go put on tefillin. We don't have the tefillah of Tfilas Ezra nowadays as an obligation. Many people go to the mikvah for just this reason, so they should be able to daven and to learn and to put on the tefillin with a guf naki. But Halacha Lamaisa, one does not need to go to the mikvah, even if they've had a seminal emission. This brings us to Siman Lamed Tes. Who is halachically kosher to go and write a pair of tefillin and to purchase tefillin from them? So the Mechaber starts off and he says, tefillin shekisovan eved. If tefillin were written by an eved kanani, again, we don't have eved kanani today, so this is not really halach lemaisa. Or isha, we certainly have women today. So this is a very important point, that a woman is not permitted to go and write tefillin. As we'll see at the end of this sif, which we will get to tomorrow, it says that the pasuk tells us ukshartom, uksavtom, that those, the people that are included in the mitzvah of wearing the tefillin are included in the mitzvah of writing the tefillin. She'eno bikshira, o'eno mamin, if somebody is not involved in the mitzvah of binding the tefillin onto themselves, or as well, we'll see other categories here, if somebody doesn't believe in the mitzvah of tefillin, so then he's not permitted to go and write them. So this is absolutely the din for a woman. A woman is not permitted to go and write tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Aleph writes down, V'hu adin sefer Torah mezuzah. This is not only a din in tefillin for writing, but it's also a din in writing sefer Torah or in a mezuzah. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Beis writes, a woman, the same thing would apply, says, for a din, who adin, tumtum the androgynous, people of what we call ambiguous genitalia, who have either both the physical external characteristics of both a man or a woman, or they have some sort of a membrane or some sort of a sheath covering up their external genitalia, and they are not recognizable as having either male or female genitalia. The latter is a tumtum, the former is the androgynous. Unfortunately, there are such medical conditions that are well known, and these are very difficult halachos shailos to determine what gender the person may have in many situations. In any event, since they're not vaday men, so the Mishnah Berurah says, the heim bichlal sofek isha, there's a sofek as to whether they're men, a sofek whether they're women, and therefore they're not permitted to write tefillin, mezuzos, or sefer Torah, because only a person who's a vaday ukshartem is vaday allowed to be uksaftem. The next exemption that the Mechaber brings down is o koton, a child under the age of bar mitzvah. Afilu higia l'chinuch, even if the child is a 12-year-old child and he's already reached the age where he understands and is capable of being taught, nevertheless, this person, this young child, is also not allowed to write tefillin or mezuzah or sefer Torah. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Gimel writes, v'kivin the alfinon mikra, since this is all learned out from a pasuk, so he actually has to be a full-fledged gadol, which means not only chronological maturity, he's 13 years old in one day from the time of his birth, but he also has physiological maturity. He has two pubic hairs, as the Mishnah Berurah says, that he has two pubic hairs after reaching the age of bar mitzvah from a chronological point of view. If we're uncertain about this, he's actually posul lichtov. The Mishnah Berurah brings down over here the Magen Avraham, who says that these tefillin are no good. In the Bir Halacha, he does bring down other posts who say you can't really posul such tefillin, including the Chayyadim and the Shulchan Shlomo, who are mekel even lechatchila, so therefore, b'dieved, we wouldn't posul these tefillin, but it's certainly not ideal, and it shouldn't be done. This presents a problem for sometimes the young bar mitzvah boys, age boys who are below the age of bar mitzvah, and they're going and very excited about seeing their tefillin being made, and they want to participate in maybe the writing of some of the parshiyos, so this is potentially a major problem. Therefore, it's best left for the sofer to do this. He can certainly show the young near bar mitzvah age boy how they're being made and what's being done. That's a very important part of chinuch, but the young bar mitzvah age boy is problematic if he goes and actually writes or makes any part of the tefillin. There are heterim, but certainly it's not lechatchila. The Mishnah Berurah then brings down that it would be possible, unless in Loshin Ismali Zakano. If we don't know for certain that he has two pubic hairs, but the guy has a beard, so then we can presume that he has two pubic hairs. The Hainu, Sheish Ribu Seo Bisakano. This means that he has a significant amount of beard growth, Avshim Ktanamot, even if it's only a minimal in terms of the length of the growth, but he has a significant covering of his beard area, so then this would also qualify as definitely being obligated in the midst of Tefillin, Midyaraisa, and able therefore to write the Tefillin Midyaraisa. Osh Avru Osh Nosav, if a person has reached the age of 35, so then one can presume that he is a Gadol, even if he doesn't have the physical characteristics of a Gadol, or alternatively, Osh Noldu Bo Simon Sris, if the person has the physical characteristics that definitely show that he is a Sris, a person who's never going to be physically mature, that person also is halachically a man, is obligated as an adult to put on tefillin, and therefore is obligated and capable of writing the tefillin as well, and this will be learned in Simon Nun Hei. Dirshu footnote number 1 brings down a very important idea that this is not only just for tefillin, this is an idea that we've discussed in other places as well, that a mitzvah derabbanan, we can rely upon just chronological maturity that the person has reached the age of bar mitzvah by age. But when we're dealing with a mitzvah deraisa, and one of the classical examples of this is Parsha Zohar, which according to almost all poskim is a chiyuv daraisa. So if the bar mitzvah boy's Parsha comes out on Parsha Zohar, many will not allow the bar mitzvah boy to lay in it because you're not Vadai guaranteeing that he is a bar mitzvah. He may only be chronologically midrabbanan, but doesn't have the physiological characteristics to make it daraisa. And normally for a derabbanan, we rely upon the chazaka. This is the famous chazaka of Rava that says that a person who is the age of 13, mistama, has the physical characteristics. But that's not 100% true. It's a chazaka, and we only rely upon that for a derabbanan. And the Prima Gadol brings down, since there is a minority, albeit a significant minority, since there are enough people that have not reached physiological maturity, even though they have chronological maturity, that's why the rabbis are stringent about this and concerned about this for a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Mishnah Berurah then continues and he brings down Vyesh Ligora Basofrim. Therefore, one has to be very much frowning upon the practice of Sofrim that allow young children, Shmenich Lenarim Lichtov Tfilin, who allow young children to write Tfilin. They medactikim may view Simoni Gadlus Lo, and they're not certain. Even they may be bar mitzvah, but they're not certain if they're physiologically mature. And we discussed this already in Simon Lamed Beis, he says, and we brought down the Lavush there in great detail. Dirshu footnote number 2 again brings down the Lavush, very harsh language, who says a great onish on these Sofrim, who do this for financial benefits. They say they're training these young children, but then they sell these tefillin as mehudarim and lechatchila tefillin, and it's something that is very, very wrong. And he writes, anybody that has the ability to stop them should stop them, and onesh hasofim meruba ma'od shemachshelas habrios, and great is the punishment that these sofrim will have if they allow this to continue. He then brings down, go look in the Bir Halacha for many, many other details of how we define Gadol over here and Ayin Sham. In Siv Katan Dalet, the Mishnah Berurah comments on that we said it was a Katan Afilu Gil Lechinuch, so he points out, Be'emes Afilu Gadolo, even if the child is above the age of Bar Mitzvah, he's not technically a Katan in that respect, but as we just pointed out, Kozman Shelo Yadinon Shevishte Saros, as long as we don't know that he has physiological maturity, so then we consider him in this respect still as a Katan, and he's not allowed to go and write Tefillin Mezuzah Sefer Torah. However, there is one difference between the child who's below the age of bar mitzvah and the slightly above the age of bar mitzvah boy who we don't know if he's reached physiological maturity. Le'inyan gadol, in regards to the 13-and-a-half-year-old boy, if you find out after he wrote the tefillin, imachakach bidaknu umotzano sheishlo shtei saros, if after the fact he wrote the tefillin and now you check and he does have shtei saros, tolidon shayolo gam kein be'esak siva, then we do have the right halachically to presume that they were present a day ago, a week ago, when he wrote the tefillin. However, Masha'en came bekotten, if a young child below the age of 13, the Eino Moel or Saros, even if he did have the pubic hairs at that point in time, he doesn't have the chronological maturity, and therefore it won't help. Finally, the Mechaber brings down the last characteristic that we'll do today that is exempt or not allowed to go write the tefillin, and he says that's Okusi, a person who is from the Kusians. These were the people who were of questionable Jewishness. They were what called Gerei Arroyos with an Aleph, that they came over here when Sancheriv was Mevalvel, the world, when he unfortunately exiled the 10 Shvatim, the northern kingdom of Israel, and he replaced them with the Sumerians, the Shomronim, and they originally still worshipped the Vodazara and weren't real Jews, but then lions came and attacked them, so they said it must be that the god of this land is upset with us, and therefore they converted, and they're called Gerei Arroyos with an Aleph. They became converts because of lions. And it's a big machlokis in the Gemara as to whether they were true converts or not. So these people are kusim. So a kusi is also technically not allowed to go and write tefillin. We don't really have kusim today, so this is not halacha l'maisa. But the aspect over here is if somebody is not a mamon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if somebody doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then you have to be in it to write it. So the person who is not a mamon is also not permitted to go and write tefillin. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Hay writes, Kach Tzorich Lomar, it really was supposed to be kusim, not Avodah Zorah, not Avodah Avodah Zorah Nix, as it often is the case, the Ovi Gilulin Belav Hachi Pasul, because a guy is certainly not allowed to, Shein Kosi Lishma, because he can't do it with the proper intention. So even if the Kusi is capable of doing it Lishma, he doesn't count, because he's not a Mamin, and as we've already pointed out several times, you have to be Ukshartim Uksaptim, you have to be involved either in obligated in putting the tefillin on, or believing that they should be put on, in order to be able to be Uksaptim, in order to be able to write them. You need both. You have to have the chiyuv to put them on, as well as believing them. It's not an or, it's an and. And that concludes today's shiur.